everybody. Brian, you said William, coming to you live every day, and looking forward to the conversation today. Just laughing. I love our intro music. It just makes me it just makes my heart smile every time I hear it. So, hey, let's get to first of all, Nisha. Happy Monday and good morning ish. I didn't get to say that on pre-show.
Happy Monday, Brian.
So, all right, let's get to our guests, because you know what? I am pretty sure some lives will be changed today. I have some high hopes about this conversation. Trent Hazy, welcome to Drive-Thru HR.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks so much for having me. I hope this can be life-changing, so I'm looking forward to it as well.
I can hear people it is like a Christmas tree. Lights are going on everywhere to listen. So I'm sure it will deliver. I got a good vibe on this one.
Good.
If you would introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of roll into what's top of mind for you today.
Absolutely. Well, let me jump right in. Basically, my background is in design. I went to Stanford's design school, studied product design there. I actually always thought I was going to be a car designer. So I did an internship at Ford and spent some time there. Found out very quickly that was not for me. Went into design and marketing, worked at Virgin America for a little while, and then jumped into the entrepreneurial scene since I'm a native Californian and it was hard to get out of Silicon Valley. So I started a company called MindSumo. And what MindSumo does is it hosts competitions for companies in order to identify top-performing candidates. So it's a fantastic recruiting tool, and we have companies like Facebook and Microsoft using it. So that was kind of my entrance into the HR and recruiting world.
Well, you're definitely in a good place, and especially being a native Californian, it's hard. And then also, with your time at Stanford, I mean, you are right there in the global, heart of product technology, innovation, entrepreneurial. And what drew you to kind of the human capital, kind of people side of the equation from product?
That's a great question.
That's a little bit of a jump.
It is. Let me tell you, it's actually an interesting story, because basically, it all started with my experience as a student several years back. And what was happening was the design school would invite companies to host projects for specific classes. So project-based learning, it's much more hands-on, and the students obviously enjoy it much more than problem sets and traditional homework. And so I actually got to work with companies like Intuit, Logitech, Spec Design. There were some fantastic companies that would come in and commission projects. And what I realized was this is something that could scale beyond just one campus. And so when I started MindSumo almost 2 years back now, the premise was help companies connect with these talented students. And within probably a month of launching this product, that was actually aimed at boosting innovation, we had companies asking us if they could start a dialogue around recruiting, because they were smart students, they really understood the problem at hand, and they wanted them on board full time. So this was actually a way of me kind of backpedaling into the human capital realm, because I really knew nothing about it outside of my own experience of getting hired at a few places. And so from there, I've kind of just gotten my hands dirty and figured it out. We've worked with over 200 companies now and have really understood what their recruiting needs are. So I feel like I've learned a ton in the past couple years just by kind of that entrepreneurial spirit.
Well, that is it's interesting. Just because, I mean, obviously the Stanford has a reputation, just like a Wharton, a Kellogg. I mean, a bunch of places where, companies will come and say, here's something that we're either confused on or we want to kind of get out of our own cultural kind of design mode and hand it over and say, can you rapid fire or agile this out and give us an idea, give us some more ideas. Tell us if this is it possible in the time frame we need it in. So what's probably the thing that just it's not perplexing, that's not the right word, but so what are some of the kind of resistance that you've had from companies thinking that this is a great idea to try and get to to get to a really good group of talent? What are the
no's? You've done your homework. These are good questions. So really what it is, it's all about vulnerability. And what we found is in the recruiting process, oftentimes the candidates, because they're in a huge pool, they're forced to be vulnerable. You're sending a resume, you're sending a cover letter, you're putting yourself out there because that's your only shot. You've got to kind of drop the shield and be yourself. But what companies have as the advantage as the employer is they don't have to be vulnerable. They can kind of keep their shield up. They can pick and choose who they want. They can go through their own processes. And it's kind of an unfair equation. So when we tell them, hey, let's get a problem up, a real business problem that you're facing, these companies, they're not used to that. They're used to keeping their problems close to the chest, not kind of revealing the products that they're working on. And so we're forcing them kind of out of that shell so that candidates can see what the company's actually working on. And that's the biggest struggle, because oftentimes they'll think to themselves, you know, MindSumo, you guys host challenges or competitions. What is a challenge? How do I create one? And so that's one of the biggest barriers we have, is just getting them comfortable with posting an exciting problem on our website.
Got it. Do you feel that it's just this is kind of a very macro question, but do you feel that it's just an overall, you know, people knowing who you are, you just haven't got enough penetration with your brand to where where that's just overwhelming on how many projects are coming in? Or do you just think it's culturally that people are resistant to the fact that classically people thinking, oh, we're different, I don't really see how it applies, or I can't make it that generic and really be able to glean off the critical skills and thought mapping process that I really want to see out of this?
So I think it's a combination of both. Being a company that has only had a product out there for a year and a half, we've focused primarily on organizations in technology, so, you know, our market penetration is still pretty shallow. But that said, what we're noticing is that companies, from a legal standpoint even, are scared to put real challenges up. There's intellectual property worries, and there are a host of other things that force them to be a little cautious. And so sometimes when companies are really fast-moving, innovative, they're comfortable with kind of the idea of open-source problems, they'll get us a challenge topic within a couple hours of our first conversation. But then we've had organizations that will take up to 6 months, and they're the ones that are scared about putting, you know, real problems on the web. That kind of vulnerability is something that they are really uncomfortable with.
And we're definitely going to move into the extra tough question here, because you're crushing it so far. What are the conversations around validation? Where you actually have, if people use. That's my background for a decade, was around screening and selection. And I love this idea because, I mean, simulate, it's kind of it's a new version and much cooler, probably much more progressively dynamic version of like the old, in-basket simulate kind of job simulation type stuff. This is much more obviously critical skill, kind of needing to, get all the information in and kind of then very quickly work through some of the scenarios. How does that work on companies saying, well, how can we use this information in the recruiting and hiring process?
That's a good question as well. So the transition from seeing work samples to then making hiring decisions is a tough one. This process is not too dissimilar from, you know, other tools that you've mentioned, and also just classic case studies or logic puzzles. These other tools that recruiters will use in the hiring process, or at least the interview process. What we're seeing our clients do is take these work samples and actually bring in the relevant departments. So if it's an engineering challenge, we saw one of our clients pull in 5 engineering directors as judges and start looking at these work samples. And what that does is it integrates the department that would eventually hire these people into the equation. And it makes their hiring decisions so much smarter. You're not having, you know, 1 or 2 people pull the trigger on people. You're integrating the relevant team. And so we've seen that be the most successful method. It's essentially the challenge completes, you take all of the work samples, distribute them among some judges in order to filter them, and then make a decision on who to take to the next round.
Well, and I would think, especially kind of with what you just described, just the overall face validity, because you have companies that are actually creating the work sample or, you know, the actual scenario, then I would assume that's a lot different than, you know, taking a generic screening tool that really doesn't have a lot of subject matter relevance or face validity to what the job role is. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly. And just as an example, this fall we're running a huge campaign with Zappos. And what they decided was, well, you know, a challenge is it should really be testing a specific skill set. And so we're going to have 10 different departments do 10 different challenges. And so it's really neat to see that you can get that granular and make it, you know, as relevant as possible to the recruiting and the hiring process.
Well, and that just opens it up, obviously, to, you know, on the service side, because I see so many applications. I was, you know, when we got you scheduled up for the show, kind of spent some time, because I think it's such a, I was enamored with the fact that you took a leap from product design and having a background in, you know, your time with Ford, you know, to creating this scenario was just not very typical. You don't see that jump very often. And so it kind of drew me in. And then the more I read about it, especially screening and selection and being able to actually figure out, you know, like you said, it's, you know, it kind of has an element of gaming. So you got the sexiness to it a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, because it's, you know, screening and selection, as much as it's sexy to me because I did it for a decade, I'm not sure it's as sexy to the mainstream public. It's just a guess.
Right. Right. No, you're dead.
MindSumo, where did you come up with the name?
Great question. So one of the biggest issues in the startup world here in Silicon Valley is that there's probably 5,000 new startup names that are incorporated every day. And so you've got only a handful of domains that you're able to choose. So we went to a whiteboard one day and probably scribbled out several hundred different ideas. All of them needed to capture the idea that this was an intellectual pursuit, that it required some intelligence. And then the other part that we wanted to capture was that this was a very active process. This wasn't passively, you know, applying or browsing or perusing. This was problem solving. And so of all of the words we had on the whiteboard, we had mind and thought and bright and words like that. And we took mind and then we paired it with sumo because it captured the idea of wrestling with problems. And so mind sumo was the combination that came out of that process.
Cool, that's interesting. Let me do a quick reset, everybody. You are listening to Drive Through HR with our wonderful guest, Trent Hussey. Well, Trent, I know you talked about helping companies connect with talented students.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're a person who are totally dealing with Gen Y and millennials. So, and this generation has always been wrongly perceived as, you know, lazy or narcissistic, excuse me. So what do you see, you know, the employers finding a difficulty in terms of screening and selection of this Gen Y or millennial? What kind of a trends are you seeing in the screening and selection of Gen Y or millennial categories?
That's a great question. So usually we're seeing these companies get very creative with millennials. When you talk about the traditional recruiting process, millennials usually cringe. They hate writing endless cover letters. They're frustrated with never being able to interface with the employees of the company itself. And so they feel like they're kind of isolated. They're on an island, and they're not used to that. They're used to being social and connected. And so some methods that we see our clients using are, some would call them gimmicky or, you know, kind of gamifying the process, but we see things like competitions on MindSumo. We see them bringing videos to career fairs. We see them using custom apps. We see them getting very creative on platforms like Tumblr, where the millennials hang out. And so really anything out of the ordinary is going to be more successful than these traditional approaches. And so the crazier, the better.
Cool, that's interesting. So do you think on a cultural aspect, do you see any kind of a differences that employers finding difficulty in terms of welcoming this vibrant generation of workforce? Or do you see that employers have to do something else in terms of creating a millennial-friendly culture?
Yeah, culture is a big deal. I remember every first day I've had at a new company has been extremely overwhelming and stressful. And part of that is you need to feel like you're amongst peers. And when you're a young employee, it's really hard to feel that kind of integration because oftentimes your peers are, you know, sometimes decades older than you. And so when it comes to this kind of young creative talent that's coming out of the university setting, one thing that's critical is even if you have very little in common, you need to relate just over the work that you're doing. And that only happens through getting them involved in projects in their first week. It's going to team lunches on day one. It's making them feel like they're part of a team. And so just culturally, you need to do everything in your power to make them feel comfortable because they're used to just being in the classroom setting where everyone is in the same life stage as them. And we've seen companies do very creative things in this area as well. Company outings, you know, go laser tag in hour number three of their first day, and try and feel, make the company culture feel like it's something that's open and transparent and forgiving. They're going to make mistakes, and so that kind of culture is crucial.
Kind of going back to the kind of the, or staying on the stream of kind of the Gen Y kind of culturally, and so where do you feel that the kind of recruiting process can be improved or changed to the complete betterment of Gen Y recruiting? Because I ask the question because I think for the most part, the biggest ding on Gen Y, which is I don't feel is accurate, is the fact that they just don't put up with a lot of the remedial bullshit that makes no sense.
Right,
they just are
right.
Like, this is so stupid. and you can't even tell me why you have this in your hiring process, and it makes no sense, and it, you know, it's not good customer service. There's so many, like, cons to it that they just are like, you know, screw it. I'm just not going to mess with it. So I think there's a level of impatience with just wasting time.
Right, right. And kind of on that note, I couldn't believe this. A friend of mine is still in school. Well, she just finished up a month or two ago and was at Stanford. And she had a chemistry background, really, really bright girl. She went into an interview, and the first thing that they made her do was a typing test. And to hear her recount this story was amazing, because it's exactly what you're talking about. It's that impatience. It's feeling like the process is irrelevant. And so really a good way of summarizing, I think, the shift that we'll start seeing in this Gen Y recruiting is being open to the fact that their resume might not capture all of their skills. And what I mean by that is a lot of the students coming out of schools right now will have a specific major or minor or concentration, but what we're finding is their interests and their passions and their real skill sets might not be in that area. And so something that really needs to happen that I'm seeing a little bit in recruiting right now is giving them the opportunity to actually display their skills. Because if I look at a history major, I think to myself, oh, well, they're humanities. Maybe they're good in, you know, a writing capacity, or but I'm not going to consider them all at all in a technical role or a role that requires numbers. That's just not their area. When in reality, this person could have taken, you know, 5 accounting classes and 6 econ classes, and they could really have a knack for that area. And so you cannot filter students and the Generation Y in general based on things like major. That's something that worked 20 years ago, but considering how interdisciplinary education is now, it's impossible to stick to your guns on that. And so I think there'll be a lot more exploring in the recruiting process, and work samples and projects will become a lot more important.
Well, and it's kind of what you've articulated is the experience we actually just had. My other company, we're a startup. We're only 6-7 months into it, and we actually just hired we just brought on our first person, and it's a marketing analyst, and super bright, super bright, younger guy, and it was a referral. And it's so funny because if I just looked at, like, his background from an educational standpoint and a work standpoint, there's no way that I could glean from that information. And, you know, if I drop that into technology, the technology is no way they would ever be able to tell me that. I mean, he's like an interdisciplinary, I mean, he's a language student. He's a junior language student at University of Oklahoma and has a lot of the humanities in his background. I mean, he's PhD track, but he ran the Excel lab at his high school. He's an advanced Excel user, totally understands data. Data is just like his second. If he wasn't a language student, he would go into computer science, right?
Right.
I cannot get that from his profile or his resume.
Right, right, and that's a very common case study right there. And if you think about it from your own perspective, I mean, how many of us really landed our first or second jobs based on our qualifications? Oftentimes, You were lucky, you got a lucky break, you got into an interview, or you were actually able to have an interaction where they thought to themselves, hey, you've got the raw intellect, and maybe you've got a couple other skills that I didn't know about, and that makes you kind of the well-rounded candidate that we're looking for. So that's exactly, you know, you hit the nail on the head there.
Funny story. First, my actual first real job that lasted quite a while. I think I got it because I showed up. I really truly believe that was a big part of it. It's like the only one that showed up maybe on time and, you know, moderately sober at the time. And it's pretty young. But, you know, those were critical components, obviously, to their process. And
right.
that started with a little dinky company and ended up with a large $700 million company. So they were picking the right people, obviously. So,
yeah.
So okay, let's put the futurism hat on. I love this question. So what is, you know, what's 2015 look like that it might surprise people when it comes to kind of evaluating what people bring to the table as far as what they can offer to a company?
That's a good one. 2 years from now, I think what we're going to see is a total amplification of trends in virtual interaction. So you see companies like HireVue that are doing online video interviewing. And when I see things like that, and then I see, you know, from my own experience at MindSumo with these challenges, what you're able to do is you're able to connect with talent across the country in, you know, a millisecond. And what that is it's really just using the web and the internet as your friend in order to uncover hidden gems where you would never, ever travel or even have a presence. And so what I'm seeing 2 years from now is just a total breaking down of barriers when it comes to hiring and recruiting. I think there'll be a lot more movement, and it'll be interesting to see companies actually stay in remote places because in the middle of northern Montana, you might be able to find some great talent that will be willing to relocate. And you'll connect with them through these virtual means. And I think that will really increase productivity. It'll increase the quality of hires. You'll be able to really just find the right people through technology.
Well, what a good example. I'm such a Kevin Marasco and the guy, you know, the folks over at HireVue. I'm a huge fan, good folks. I think they push, you know, they're starting to be what the brand of the futures are going to look like within the
right.
HR space, within the human capital space. And so great example. I actually just had an interesting thought. What if you just started had companies because of all the technology that we're talking about right here, that it's a pure lifestyle recruiting play? That's all
mm-hmm.
they recruit for is lifestyle. Like if I want to be on Breckenridge in the back of the mountain, or you know, maybe those are the folks that I recruit on the front of the day. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're doing engineering, or they're doing recruiting, or you know, they're doing project management. But part of their choice is a lifestyle of I want to be pounding the slopes, you know, in the afternoon. So that's maybe a critical recruiting component in that process. So. They can be anywhere.
Yeah, big time. I think that's huge, especially for this younger generation. They care a lot about their lifestyle. And so when, at least in this area here in California, we see floods of these, you know, recent grads that will flock to places like Google and Facebook. Well, it's because they're getting, you know, a free meal and all these great perks, but sometimes that doesn't apply. I have a great friend that he wanted to be skiing in, you know, the mountains of Utah, so he took a job out there, and so I think you're right on that front that the lifestyle really matters.
Well, that's perfect, Trent. Thank you so much, man. Great conversation. Real quick, we got about 25 seconds. How can people connect with you to continue the conversation?
Easiest way is an email. I'm trent@mindsumo.com, and I field emails from people all the time with questions or interest, and feel free to reach out with me about anything.
Perfect. Well, thanks for spending lunch with us, Nisha. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, and we're out of here, folks. Have a good Monday.